You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up? Welcome back to Josh Swallows Broadway. I'm so excited. I'm here with the Never Boys. That's right. The Boys of Neverland. Finding fucking Neverland. Can you believe it? We have Jonathan Ritter. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
How's my angel baby?
Oh, so good.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love you. And your beard is so long.
Thank you. I just stopped cutting it.
Oh, well, congratulations. Yeah. Ryan Worsing, Broadway's darling Ryan Worsing. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Joshua. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just better now that I'm looking at you. I miss you so much.
I miss you too, baby.
That's right, audience at home. He's crying. Christopher Dwan. Hi, Christopher Dwan. Look at him. He's voguing. Got.
My whole computer set up. Wow.
Hi, guys.
Hi, baby. I miss you so much.
I miss you too. You look great. I love those glasses.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. They bring out my chin.
Sorry for your readers. I can see you.
And Colin Cunliffe and Ronnie Todorovsky are in the same room, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Uh-huh. You repeat that?
Hi.
I think that, see, this is what we got to experience every day in that never-ending insanity.
Chaos.
That was Finding Neverland.
Now, Josh, I'm not sure what your feelings are on bootlegs, but I stumbled across one the other day called A Grown Man Plays in the Park with Children, But It Isn't Creepy, Act One. And it turned it out to be Finding Neverland. And I watched highlights, and guys, it was utter chaos. It was so fun to watch again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so weird to see it.
You know,
like I never saw it before. I just knew what, like, journeys were.
On none of your leave of absences, you came to see the show?
How dare you? That's right.
How dare you?
I took two leaves, didn't I? Did you miss me when I was gone?
Every time.
Always.
We miss you.
That's right.
The puzzle pieces were just so lonely.
Oh, right. We had an area of the theater that was very sacred. It was by the men's dressing area around stage level. And it was a hallway called Hush Meadows because you couldn't be loud. And I was watching Big Brother or Survivor while cross-stitching during the show because I had like an 81-minute break. Wow. What did we call the ensemble area? Like our area? It was Hush Meadows and something else.
Well, like Hush Meadows blended into like the men's dressing room. And I think it started with like you just slowly moving like your dressing room station chair like further and further into Hush Meadows. And you're like, oh, you guys, we can do puzzles. Hush is the deep end of the hallway.
Let us just remember, too, that you were literally 5 feet from sitting audience members on the other side of those doors.
But it made you really close if Kristen Chenoweth wanted to come backstage for a picture. So
yeah, that's right true. There. Who was your favorite celebrity that came?
Jessie J.
Jessie J.
I thought she was awesome. She was so sweet.
I was all about Jennifer Lawrence.
Love Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Julie Andrews.
She came when I wasn't there. You got to meet Julie Andrews?
Yeah. I didn't know she came to the show.
Oh, I will say, we all took a photo with her, and I feel like we all look insane. We're all just like the biggest beady eyes and huge smile, just like, oh, look at her.
In various states of undress, mind you, because we'd all quick changed out after the show as well. So, yeah, we look like lunatics.
I love Finding Neverland, and I love all of you because I feel like we became such a tight family just because everything was so crazy. Like, I want to hear some of your favorite moments from backstage or favorite crazy moments that happened. And Colin, I want to start with you.
Well, I guess I just got to say it. Probably one of my favorite moments or most memorable moments was walking onto the stage a week before previews and seeing the full company on stage with a real live dog when I was playing the dog perform my scene in the show. No calls, no emails. All of a sudden, out of the blue, I walk on stage and there's a fucking dog barking my lines and everyone on stage. And I just immediately jumped off stage and said, keep your job. You're a pirate. They've only got a week. You're a swinging pirate. Make it work. And then found everyone in the audience and said, what's up? Which they just were like, so basically in a nutshell, I've been doing the dog. The dog's design between like just all of us, we couldn't quite figure it out. I looked like a big kind of creepy Sasquatchy character. Just looked so big in it. And we just couldn't figure out the right design for it. And the problem was, I always wanted to go for like kind of a knickers and a vest and like mix it in. And, you know, I'm hairy, so whatever. But they said that looked too, no, I mean, like you could just make something kind of a cool design out of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said it looked too much like I was a young boy, like next to him and like sniffing his crotch and then just like up on end, just with, you know, Jay and Barry's backstory. That was not a good look. So they
stayed
with the first suit, which I thought Sudarat did an amazing job and all the people did such an amazing job creating. But we just didn't know what it looked like on stage. And I just don't think it worked for their vision. And so they replaced me with a real dog without telling me a week before previews.
Oh my God.
Who, bear in mind, was not very good
missed their entrance opening night, which
didn't know his lines.
The amazing thing was that they chose. They were like, well, we need to get a dog. Why don't we find a dog that's never been on stage before?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Let's just start from scratch. Give them a new opportunity. And let's get Bambi in here to train her. Now, Bambi, I love so much, and she's got this voice. She talks like this. And Diane Paulus would be in the house trying to get the fucking dog to, like, turn left or turn right. And she'd be on the god mic being like, okay, Bambi, can you have the dog? Look at Matthew. And Bambi would be like, no, I can't. He's a dog.
Not trained for that.
What do you want? He's a dog. You're lucky to have a dog. You know, it was just.
But she would also be like standing in the wing, like fully seen in like her street clothes, like with a cracker and a snapper. Like, like, Bambi, we're going to need you to take a few steps back.
There was a time during.
Because we can see you.
During previews when I had a bit in the nursery scene with a dog or something. And they kept putting like real meat in my hands to like entice the dog. So I'm trying to make like a not so funny bit funny while holding like raw meat in my hand while in a onesie on Broadway.
Wasn't the first time. Me too, Josh. You would hold the raw meat for me too.
Well, that's because you're a hungry baby.
This hour is just going to be us giggling. I can't stop.
Happens every day.
No, but I mean, just to wrap it up, I mean, I did have to, and at one point when they first brought out the costume, I was in a rehearsal room and they brought me in like, okay, Harvey's coming. And this is the first time we're showing in the costume. So just like, when you wear it, can you just, I was like, be a dog. And they're like, yeah. So, like, waiting in the street with like, I swear there's like 15 people that I may or may not have never seen before, had ever seen before. And the doors open and it's Harvey and his daughter. They were very sweet. But so I'm thinking, okay, great. Like interact with the kid. So I like go and like gallop over to the, as a dog. And she just screams in horror. Oh no, it's going so bad. Be a cuddly dog. So then I curled up and she was like, I want to feed the dog. Daddy, I want to feed the dog. So he's like, great, get the dog a treat. So an assistant goes out, grabs a brown bag from the hallway, comes back in. And I didn't know what it was. Luckily, it was, I think, a Starbucks cookie. And I had
you
to
hope.
Just looking up at Harvey Weinstein and just eating a cookie from his daughter's mouth. She was very nice and they were happy, but I'll never forget that image.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that. I just want to acknowledge how bizarre that is.
It made you
who you are today.
People pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that training at a BFA. You got it in an afternoon.
That's exactly right.
What if that was a class? Like, okay, you're the executive producer of the entire world. Their child is going to make you be their dog. And if you do a good job, they'll give you a treat.
Yeah. You want to stay in breath, grounding yourself, grounding your knees on the floor.
Now, didn't he also make Melanie dance for the daughter? At some point.
Oh,
that sounds right. That sounds right.
Like, look, does this look like Peter Pan to you? You know, and
a lot of show and tell.
Yeah, a lot of show and tell.
Like in general.
I remember there being moments in rehearsal where like all of a sudden, like all these assistants would show up and Diane would come up to us. Like we'd hear her like yell at someone over there, and then she'd come up to us and be like, I am so sorry. Harvey's on his way and he wants to see Believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we hadn't learned it yet.
Yeah.
So we just perform it and then we'll go back and like learn it. But just like do it. Just do it full out once.
See, that's why I bring up chaos, because it was always such intricate movements with 30 people on stage. Children, animals, adults, all trying to shine. I love it.
When we finished a run and Diane on the God mic goes, Jonathan, can you come out and run that again? So I'm like, okay. This was at ART. We were doing that first song that Jeremy sings. What was the cut song? The favorite? No, but that was another one. Remember Me. Oh my God.
There were 8,000 opening numbers.
Better.
And they still weren't happy after Broadway. They changed it for the tour too.
Really?
Yeah.
They did. Oh, they came up with like a whole new opening 9 minutes when they sent the show out on tour. They still hated the opening.
What about when Diane said in tech, great job, you guys, after like, I think like Circus of Your Mind or something. She was like, really great job. Great, wonderful work, you guys. Now let's go back and fix all of that. All of that.
Yeah. And by fix, we meant cut and replace.
Good effort, but wait, that sucked.
Josh, didn't you have like a little tradition before Believe, speaking of Believe, that you would do before going on stage each night?
Sure did.
I did? What did I do?
You would do different methods to me.
Okay. So Ronnie, tell the story. You're on stage.
Entrance in stage right, wing two. And you know, we maybe had like 45 seconds, maybe not even or whatever. And there were 8 shows a week for months. And there were different, you drowned, you cut your throat with your cane, you hung yourself, you got electrocuted. You were very creative.
I think there was even a crucifixion.
There was definitely a crucifixion. Yep.
Mm-hmm. While these little kids are dancing on stage and Believe.
Well, it's easily your favorite number in the show. Easily.
What was the line? The line you used to say to the kids that got cut as the old man before Believe.
I think. Oh yeah, there was a moment in Finding Neverland History where I played an old crotchety man that I had a crossover and the kids ran around me and I called them like little devils or white like devils.
Devil child.
And that got cut just as quick as my balloon dance at ART.
Oh, which was so good.
No, it wasn't.
You were amazing.
It was epic.
I mean, if the public doesn't know, Josh Lehman is a beautiful and brilliant dancer.
Correct.
I mean, sure, everyone knows by now after seeing him like in the prom, but.
Well, of course I am. I'm a Nicola girl.
Josh.
I'm a Nicola girl, you understand? You're a Warlock girl.
I'm a Sergio girl.
You're a Sergio girl. You're a Mia Michaels girl. You guys were the Mia Michael dancers.
True.
I wish it was called Finding Neverland and the Mia Michael dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Working with her was a real trip for me. Yeah. Like, I've never really had to, like, dance much. And granted, I didn't really have to do that in Finding Neverland either. But, Mia doesn't come from the theater world.
Mm-mm.
Correct.
Now, we can use a safe word if we need to right now. Because I see faces going up. I see, uh-oh. So safe word is stronger.
That's gonna be problematic, but okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so what was it like being a Mia Michael dancer?
Well, I'll go first because I danced in her company back in 1998.
You're really a Mia Michaels girl.
99. So I'm an old school girl, Mia Michaels dancer. Yeah, you know, I've been through a lot of chapters with her, and she's, you know, she's layered. She requires a lot, and she's really passionate about what she does. And, you know, like it's an intense process. And I really do feel, as far as Finding Neverland goes, I wish that she had more freedom to do what she really wanted choreographically. But that's, you know, so often what happens with choreographers. They're just like, the dance is the first thing to get cut. yeah, that's what I'll say about it. That's all I'll say about it. Colin?
My favorite thing about Mia, I was so starstruck when we started. And so I just loved how she wanted to work so hard and then play even harder. Mm. We would go out with Mia till 4 o'clock in the morning. It was so fun. I remember going to her birthday party too at some expensive steak restaurant. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I made it. This is my Broadway debut. I'm having dinner with Mia Michaels. Then the bill came and I was like, I need a second job.
Oh, no.
So fun. Such a fun time.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember there was one day where we were kind of working on the pirate number and stuff, and she had worked with, I think, Elliot a bit to create this, like, these drums and chains, and it was just kind of on loop, and she just wanted to play with us in the studio. But
I remember
on this amazing sound system, you know, at a new 42 studio, and she just put it on and like pulled it out of us. I mean, we got so nasty and crunky, and she's just in your face and like, go, 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 you know, and I don't know if I can remember like being in a studio with a Broadway choreographer and having that freedom to really go in that hard and that deep and just explore kind of that world and that way of moving, which I just really am a fan of with her.
That's fierce. And you all were fierce in that number. Now, how many of you had to climb the sails that like came out of the ground? I see Jonathan, Ryan, and Colin.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you were saying, no, thank you, ma'am.
That actually was going to be my story. There's so many.
I love that Ronnie story, though.
But that was actually going to be my story, was that the day that they were setting the people to do that, Emma was the only one that clocked this. I just casually like made my way off stage, the furthest upstage wing you could possibly, and literally hid. hid. I was like out of sight, and thank goodness.
You know, at ART when they were doing Circus of Your Mind, I hid in the stage left quick change booth because no matter what, I was not moving one of those doors. I was not. Was not my journey. That was not going to happen. And that saved me. And like, remember when the three girls had to come out? Doom, 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 doom.
Oh my God.
Holding giant mirrors on their bodies and like they couldn't move. But anyway,
Jessica Vosk.
They had to like pony on stage to hold the doors though, too. Many girls, yeah. I think, called out because they hurt their wrists.
Or their shoulders. Those doors were problematic. For sure.
They were dangerous.
Yeah. Yes.
The doors took out Carol Lee in Tech, right?
Well, and that was the other one. We had half of our principal cast behind the doors as well. It was treacherous.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
No, we got to show Circus of Your Mind without rehearsing it one time. And that's when I got to smack Carol Lee Carmelo in the head with my pole in front of everyone. Yeah.
Oh,
and she looked at me. She looked at me and went, ah! And fell onto the ground. And this was like at a breaking point. We were all exhausted. We were all like, what are we doing? It was like version number 17. And I looked down at her and she just looked at me and like winked. And I was like, okay, she's okay. I didn't kill her. She's okay.
The whole last 15 minutes of act one felt like just a massive, hideous CrossFit class for the ensemble guys, because we had to either work the doors or those carousel poles in Circus of Your Mind, and then quick change into running the ropes or lifting mat on bench, and then quick change into flying off of the rat lines until you pass out and they call blackout. I mean, that last 15 minutes was rough.
Wasn't there like one door that was like five times heavier than the others, yes. Ryan?
The purple door.
Like, yes, of course there was.
The purple door.
And like they had tape, a black tape wrapped around the poles as well. And half of them had like shards of metal sticking out of them. I mean, you were, if you didn't get injured in the last 15 minutes of act one, you didn't do the show. That just didn't count. There was I think it was Rory's door that was significantly heavier, which was always choice when a swing got to go on for that track too. Mm. Always a dream.
Oh yeah. My God.
We were originally supposed to wear these like 700-pound horse heads for that number that were then cut.
Right.
There's a picture. I think there's a picture of Ronnie trying it on stage. He's like, I can't move my head.
There were a lot of people playing animals in that show. A lot of people playing animals.
Lucky them.
Lucky them, girl. Lucky them. And you got to be a dancing bear on roller skates, Colin. Was that terrifying?
Talk about bootleg. Yeah, because I couldn't really see out of it. But I finally saw like what it looked like. It looked so weird. It was so
hard. Bootlegs are hard.
Because then I had that little, like, I had to come back out, quick change out of my roller skates, and then this little tricycle that Diane was really just wanted a bear on a tricycle. So then all of a sudden, when I finally saw it, I was like, oh, dear. But I had so much fun in that head and in those paws and on those skates. And yeah.
Oh, we all had fun during Believe, but not as much fun as we had during the play at the end of the show in the nursery. We were so terrible. I just remember during play, Melanie or who came in after Melanie?
Amy.
Like we would name their character during the song play. Like
we, you. You.
Me.
Yeah. We'd
be like Evelyn or Cinnamon.
Just
Starshine. Yeah.
Stripper names.
And when you boys would lift her up and she would fly in the nursery, we'd all whisper her name in awe. Just collectively be like, Cinnamon.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know you did that until probably like 8 months into the run, and we're lifting Amy, and I just hear like Alexa or something. And I was like, who is that? Yeah.
I mean, I think that is what I just loved about doing that show so much, is that there was so much action going on all over the stage, but everyone was like in to play, like in the world, and just these characters became so developed. Everybody's little cross story was just insane. And I feel mm-hmm. like you can move around that stage and just see like gold.
But mm-hmm. I can honestly say, I mean, being swung out to watch and take notes on the show once a week, it was the energy on stage that we are all having so much fun was truly palpable across the footlights as well. Like, it was never anything that was distracting or stealing from the moments of the show. Like, the life on stage was so richly built that you could genuinely feel it as an audience member too. It was really special. I've never.
You were always such a Neverland head, Ryan. You loved it much.
I loved it.
I love when you would get strung out.
Well, I didn't have to go through previews, so there was that saving grace for me.
Right. Oh, but I'm so glad that you came in, Ryan.
Me too.
Oh. Gosh, I mean, the best thing for me was like the love that I have for you boys is so huge. Like, the backstage life at Finding Neverland, I think, was some of the best like backstage life I've ever had.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So what was the most dangerous number in the show, do you think?
Well, I experienced some falling scenery at one moment during previews. It was my Broadway debut, and I was like, I will do anything you want me to do. And there was one moment where Diane wanted me in the middle of like a pulley system of ropes, and I like got in it, and it fell off the fly and landed on my foot. So I missed a week of previews. So that was really fun. I have another instant of doing a flip off a table and like breaking my big toe. It still doesn't really bend fully.
Right.
During rehearsals,
what about when you were on the rope?
Yeah.
And you hit your head.
And you hit your head on the floor.
I don't remember that. No. there was this really crazy moment where, like, you know, the stage is hollow too. So I went down, and I just remember everyone telling me about the sound afterward. But I got rushed off stage. I sat down, and our vocal painter, what's her
designer.
Name? Anne Marie, I believe, ran some Reiki spells over me and took the concussion away. I believe she gave herself the concussion to spare me the pain.
She's magical. I believe she's a bruja.
I do too.
I believe that could work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember?
It's hard to think though about what is the most dangerous though, because you know, like we were saying, the whole end of Act One was pretty nutty, but then the top of Act Two was rather dangerous for you, Josh. And then we also had the number play where we were throwing chairs and tables and people the entire length of the stage. So I honestly don't know that we could peg just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All the put-ins, like right before the show, like, okay, we're going to do play. And be like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Again.
It was like Vietnam.
We worked so hard. And all the rehearsals during the day.
But yeah, the top of Act Two did get a little dangerous for me.
A couple times.
On that note, Josh, can we just talk about Yabba Dabba Doo?
Yeah, let's let's do it.
This is my favorite Finding Neverland story. So go
to give the audience a premise. At the top of Act Two, I would fly. And then something went wrong with the machine, one of many times, and like it dropped me for like a second, and it still caught me, but there was a malfunction of like I thought that I was gonna die for a split second.
Well, and it happened like was it in a row? And if you hadn't picked your legs up, I mean, it would have crushed your legs. Your knees were like inches off of the floor.
Oh,
oh my gosh!
Frightful to watch.
And so what I remember is Tony Yazbek was back in the show that night. And as Jan Barry. And
stronger.
Well, I remember the PSM was in the audience watching Tony Yazbek. And being that I just like almost fell to my death, I was waiting off stage for the PSM to come and talk to me and, you know, see what the fuck happened. And there was no PSM.
You kept checking your phone. You're like, I'm waiting for a text.
And so finally I texted. Yeah, finally I texted the PSM and I said, are you going to come back and talk to me or is Tony just that good? And then the next thing I remember is they were going to throw a dog and pony show for me the next day.
Yeah, exact words. Exact words there.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, yeah, we have to do a little dog and pony show for Josh. And that dog and pony show involved a very petite woman being flown in the air to show me. I mean, if she's a toothpick, I'm a sequoia. To show me how safe she feels up in the air. And would anybody else like to chip into this story?
Well, sure. I mean, I was lucky enough to be at this dog and pony show as well. And you made your grand entrance and undid your scarf and ready for the moment. And of course, as you walk in, this person is already hanging in the air as if that is going to prove to you that you are totally safe on this two-show day to do this flight pattern again. But you were not having any of it, rightly so. They brought her to the ground and started to have a conversation, and you were very direct. You just said, what was the malfunction? What was the malfunction? And they could not provide you any answers. At which point, another stage manager started to speak up, and without even making eye contact, you put your hand in his face and just said, yabba dabba doo. Completely, as if that was going to shut down the whole conversation. And it pretty much did. And then you followed up by saying, listen here. There are a handful of shows that I will die for. A new Sondheim musical. A revival of Hello Dolly with Bette Midler. Or a revival of Once on This Island. Finding Neverland is not one of them. And I think that ended the Dog and Pony show right there.
Yeah, I remember I will not die for finding fucking Neverland. But hey, then they fixed it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I happened to cross upstage right as the Yabba Dabba Doo was being said. So that's kind of what I walked into. And I use it all the time. Yabba dabba do.
It says everything. It says really everything. And also, let that be a lesson to you, gentle listeners. If you don't say no, nobody else is going to say it for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying spend diva dollars left and right. Don't max out the diva card. I'm saying if they drop you when you're flying, you have the right to say yabba dabba do to whoever is trying to silence you. Yeah, that was fun. But also, like, Chris, I really admired you a lot watching you go through all these horrible injuries. I learned, like, it was really awesome and cool just, like, how professionally you were able to, like, draw a line and be like, this happened, so this is not what I'm comfortable with, so we can do this.
Totally. I changed some choreography into the run because I had to do a front flip off of a table. And at one point they extended the legs of the table and didn't tell me. So I like over rotated and hurt my toe. So I ended up just doing a cartwheel. And hey, no one was watching me during that part anyway.
Because no, there were definitely things happening on stage. Yeah,
definitely. So that was definitely like the lesson for me of, where's the focus? I don't think I'm supposed to have it. And then I would change it. Until I was the focus. And then I was the focus.
What is amazing to me is how little I really did in Act One. You all, like, I didn't realize just how crazy it was. You know, I mean, I knew how crazy it was. But I had to just sing off stage and then carry on a plank with Paul while dancing.
In the dark. In the dark.
In the dark.
Step though, Josh.
And Paul's like seven feet tall. I'm like a little bouncing ball next to him. And so like try to like make that plank level. Jesus Christ, that was my cross to bear. You all had the hard work, but then I had the plank.
I mean,
you did, but you also brought that plank on for only like last 30 seconds of that song. I think
yeah,
the
but
last
it was heavy.
People that stage.
It was heavy.
I remember the Tony performance being like, "Why am I here? I don't do anything in this. Why? To you're paying me so I can bring on a plank."
But, and they did.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I miss you boys so much.
My brain is through so many memories.
So
of this
much
experience.
So fun.
Well, we also got so close because we never had any time to go to our dressing rooms during the show. So we were pretty much together for 2.5 hours every show in that quick change dressing room, 8 shows a week. But we certainly made the most of it.
I mean, we had to.
And I was like when like a dressing room space is balanced, like with the gays and the straights, that always tends to be where I favor the company. And I loved our other boys, like Paul Slade Smith literally working on a play just as everything is happening around him, and we're just screaming and running around like little children.
Sharika.
Oh, Sharika.
Oh, I miss her. Sail away.
I was just going to say that video you made, Jonathan, at the end of the run.
Yeah.
Still so. I still revisit that like once every
Yeah. I just watched it like a couple weeks ago and I was like, I miss it.
It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it under?
It's called Goodbye from Neverland, maybe Broadway.
Okay. It's such a beautiful. Jonathan gifted us with all this amazing footage of, you know, backstage life when the show ended. And one of my favorite moments from backstage is I enjoy randomly singing Enya songs because I just think Enya's funny. You know, in a way that she's like a recluse in a castle with 15 cats. And, you know, I was sailing in Virginia, sail away. And all of us jammed out to Sail Away during the show.
Yeah.
Like, they probably heard Sylvia coughing up blood, and we were like, I was sailing.
Oh yeah,
and it was like a 13-minute number too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It just kept going.
It's a lot. It kept going. Yeah,
just like
but you
Neverland.
Can see it. You can. It just keeps going.
Yeah, no, but you can see it online on YouTube. So mm-hmm. Everybody should go do that. Mm-hmm. I miss you all so much. I'm so proud of you all. I'm so honored to know you all. And I just think that you're all incredibly brilliant. And I'm grateful for you guys coming on the show today.
I love you, Josh.
Yeah, we love you.
Love you too.
I'm sorry, Mr. Swallows.
Yes, thank you. I'm the Duchess of Broadway. Well, anyway, let's catch up again soon. Let's have another fun Zoom. And everybody at home, thank you so much for listening to Josh Swallows Broadway. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Okay, I love you guys. Bye.
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 Bye. Cool. All right, we'll stop there.
And do we need to download?
I'll keep the recording going so we can do our intro. You know,
okay.
The same file. Yeah.
Boys, about me, Josh.
No, thank you so much for being here, guys. I miss you all so much. Are you guys doing okay?
I know.
Yeah, you guys are upstate, right? Josh, are you still in New York?
I'm still in New York.
Yeah, totally. And I know.
Doing the podcast, Josh.
What's that?
How are you liking doing the podcast?
It's different this year. I like doing it in person.
Yeah.
You know, but we're making the best of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, at least we could all get together in the same room for a minute. Yeah. Chris, are you at your parents' house?
No, I'm renting a place in Michigan, so I'm close to my family, but we have our own space.
That's fierce.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Look, we got a big old place.
Where's the pup?
Pup's at my parents. She would be running around barking up a storm, so whenever we're rolling, she's got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Got it.
Wait, Chris, are you near Ypsilanti?
Yeah.
That's where my brother lives.
Cool.
You guys should hook up.
I think we already have, maybe.
That's so fierce.
That's hot.
I love hooking up with strangers.
Especially
now, because really, like, I have antibodies, so who cares?
You won't have them after 2 months.
Yeah. Well, no, I still have mine. Isn't that crazy? It's like the miracle of Hanukkah. They keep going and going and going.
They keep on giving, yep.
Jonathan, are you at home?
I'm at home. I'm in California.
California, okay.
Yeah. In Morro Bay.
Good.
Are you under a bunk bed?
Yeah, I'm in a bunker. No, I'm. I've been working at my parents' shirt shop. Can you imagine? I'm underground. I've been working at my parents' shirt shop here at the beach for the past 11 months. Love so that. Yeah, it's that's and awesome. Teaching dance. It's been
that's
really
so fun.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
So I'm just here in the warehouse. If anyone needs any beach swag, send me your
forcing the children to sell.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, where are you?
I'm home in Kansas for a couple more weeks. My grandma turns 100. In 2 weeks.
Wow.
Which is nutty.
Good for her.
Can't fathom getting into triple digits. But yeah, so she turned 100. So I've just stayed since Christmas so that I didn't have to travel and then come back with the virus and all that. And then I'll head back to the city after birthday.
Love okay. That. How's your puppy?
Cool.
Great. He's asleep on the bathroom floor right now. He made a minor appearance because he heard it. Sound out the door, but he's the best decision I made.
So cute.
You dog owners, you know how that is. And Josh with your cats for sure. But yeah, he's the best.
Mine are getting a little, you know, you're touching us too much. And I'm ready to put them down and start anew.
Fresh.
I'm just kidding. All right.
Just put the one down.
Just the one.
Let the other one know who's boss.
Yeah, that's. Have you ever done that with like a roach in your apartment? Like you see a roach and you kill it, and you're like, should I leave it there as a warning? If there's others, should I like leave it there just so it's like, oh my god, they got Barb. They got fucking Barb. Shit. Oh my god. No.
my gosh. Guys, there were so many other stories that I thought about saying.
But oh, my God.
How many would have been appropriate? I mean, honestly.
You know what I mean? Like,
you
were skirting the edge.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as brought up Mia, I was like, pedal back.
It's okay. She won't. Yeah.
Oh, she's not going to listen. Are you kidding me?
No.
She doesn't text me or anything. But anyway, I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. Let's find a Zoom opportunity for us, okay?
Yeah. And when all this
sounds good,
when all this COVID crap ends, you guys have to come up here for a visit.
Definitely. I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
I'm really sincere. I really want you to come up here and experience this because Colin and I are. You guys know we're starting
what?
Business up here. We're starting like
no, a tell.
So our goal and mission statement is to bring like entertainment up here, like various forms of entertainment in different spaces. We've already produced two events during COVID and been really successful. So
amazing.
Yeah. So we really, beyond just like bringing your talents up here, we really want you to just come and hang out.
We will. Yeah. And we'll do an immersive Seussical.
Yes.
Why the
a fuck? Socially distant immersive Seussical.
Brilliant.
Yes. Oh,
you can write it down, Ronnie.
Brilliant.
Right
in there. Seussical 4D.
Except it takes place in a pandemic.
It's fucking genius, John.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I love you, boys. Thank you for being here.
Love you. Yeah, so good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.